Don't you love the sounds of Christmas? Sometimes it's a choir singing. Sometimes it's a bell ringing. But it's the sounds of Christmas. And the sounds of Christmas are ringing really loud. And right here in Luke chapter number 1, you can find your way there. And during this time of celebrating the coming of Christ, we're focusing on the sounds of Christmas in this chapter, in Luke chapter number 1. It's an important chapter regarding the birth of Christ, and it's full of sounds that we need to consider as we think about Him, and we think about His coming into the world. Some of you were here last Sunday, and this past Wednesday night, we looked at and talked about the sound of Zacharias' voice. We discovered in Luke chapter number 1 that there's a man named Zacharias that kind of starts this whole book off, this chapter off, and he's introduced to us, and he's got a wife named Elizabeth, and they're unable to have a child, and he is a priest, and he's given the privilege during his time in Jerusalem of offering the incense on the altar. And as he did that, an angel showed up and revealed to him that his prayers had been heard. And him and his wife had been praying, and some years ago, they're older now, they're well past the years of having a child, but at some point in their life, they were praying that they would be able to have a child. And the Bible says that God heard their prayers, didn't forget their prayers, and that they were going to conceive and have a son, and they were to name him John. And he'd bring a lot of joy and gladness, and people were going to rejoice at his birth. He'd be great in the sight of the Lord, and he won't drink any wine or strong drink, be set aside to God, filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and turn the children of Israel back to each other and to God. He's going to be the forerunner that Malachi prophesied at the end of the Old Testament. This is him. And this older couple is going to have this little baby. And Zacharias, you remember, had a little bit of pessimism in his voice. That is, he said, I mean, how am I going to have this? How's this going to happen? That is, in the King James, whereby shall I know this? That is, how is this going to be the experience of my life? And that is, that I'm an old man, and my wife is, she's a mature woman, well stricken in years. And I don't see how in the world this is ever going to happen. And the Bible tells us, as a result of that, he had a problem with his voice. And that is, that he couldn't speak. The angel announced that because he would not believe and trust God to do what God said that he would do, that he would not be able to speak during the entire time that all of this is being fulfilled. And Zacharias went home. He got together with his wife. And ladies and gentlemen, God enabled them to be able to conceive a child. And she carried that child for 9 months. And it was 9 months of peace and quiet for Elizabeth, because Zacharias was all, he couldn't say a word. Every time she told him to do the dishes, he couldn't even back talk. And he couldn't say anything. But nevertheless, during that time, he was watching what God was doing. God just shut his mouth so he couldn't say anything. But just watch. You know, sometimes it's good just to be quiet and watch what God's doing. And he watched the will of God being carried out and the purpose of God being done. And all the while that his mouth was shut down, his heart was filling up. And finally, whenever the child was born, and on the eighth day he was circumcised and he named him John, his tongue was untied, his mouth was open, and he spoke, ladies and gentlemen, from a prophetic voice. And spoke words of prophecy that you read about beginning there in verse number 67. We looked at just a little bit of his prophecy, not all of it, but we looked at a little bit where he prophesied about a divine visitation and about an eternal redemption and about a real salvation. That is this great prophecy from the voice of this man named Zacharias. When you listen to Zacharias, when you listen to his voice, it sure sounds a lot like Christmas. The sound of Zacharias's voice. I want to preach to you a little bit about the sound of Gabriel's visit. Not only is there the sound of Zacharias' voice here in Luke chapter number 1, but also in this same chapter, kind of sandwiched between the story about Zacharias and Elizabeth, is the sound of Gabriel's visit. You read about it beginning in verse number 26. It's a familiar passage to us during this time of year. Listen to what it says. And in the sixth month, that is, in the sixth month, after Elizabeth conceived. She's 6 months along in her pregnancy. And the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And we'll pause right there for the reading. The Bible tells us here about the visitation, that is the visit of an angel named Gabriel. Now, you all know, don't you, because I just referred to it a moment ago, that we've already met Gabriel already in this book. It was Gabriel that came and spoke to Zacharias there in the temple. And showed up in the temple, and he revealed to Zacharias there by the altar, on one side of the altar, revealed to him that his wife was going to conceive, and they were going to have this son. He was going to name him John, and he's going to be great, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and everybody's going to be rejoicing at his birth. That is, the angel Gabriel is the one, ladies and gentlemen, that whenever Zacharias doubted what God was saying, he's the one that let him know who he was. And that is, he doubted whether or not he would be able to conceive a child. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 19 of this chapter, the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel. And as I said to those who were here for that service, and that is as those he was saying, why would you even for a moment, for a second, a millisecond, even doubt what I'm telling you? Don't you realize who I am? I'm Gabriel. And he said, don't you realize where I'm standing? I stand in the presence of God. I'm an angel, Gabriel, an archangel, ladies and gentlemen, that stands right before the throne of God. And he says, I've been sent, that has been sent to speak unto thee and to show these glad tidings. In other words, he's saying to Zacharias, and that is, I'm not somebody ordinary. I'm the angel that stands before the throne of God. And the reason why I'm here is because I've been sent to give you this word. It's the word from the throne of heaven. That is a word from God, delivered, ladies and gentlemen, by an angel that stands before the throne. Now listen, if the angel of Gabriel ever shows up at your house and tells you something, you'd be wise just to believe what he says. As a matter of fact, if you want to be able to talk, you probably should. We've already met this angel named Gabriel as he visited there Zacharias in the temple. But what we are really fascinated by is his second visit. And there's the angelic visit to this woman named Mary. He not only showed up, it's amazing to me, he not only showed up in the most sacred place of Judaism, that is the temple in Jerusalem, there by the altar as the incense is being offered. But Gabriel showed up, ladies and gentlemen, in one of the dirtiest towns in Galilee, named Nazareth. They tell us that Nazareth was known for just being kind of a small little backwoodsy little town that was really considered to be nothing. That is, nobody, there was this saying, is anything good come out of Nazareth? That is, Nazareth is just kind of known to not be anything special, but even less than that. And this angel from heaven that stands before the throne of God, picture that now, as we've already mentioned, that stands before the throne of God that is in heaven. The one who showed up, ladies and gentlemen, at the temple in Jerusalem now is making a visit in this little backwoodsy, dirty little town called Nazareth that nobody wants to claim to be from. There he is. You see, why would he do that? I mean, why would the Lord send an angel to show up in that little town? The reason why is because in that little town, there's a young woman there, ladies and gentlemen, that maybe nobody but Joseph and maybe mom and dad and a few siblings and cousins really care that much about and don't even know about. But God knows about her. And not only does God know about her, but he has her in mind. As a matter of fact, he's chosen her, ladies and gentlemen, for a unique ministry that nobody else has ever had or ever will, and that is to conceive miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit, the very Son of God, the divine Word in her womb, and to bring him into the world. Now that's a ministry that nobody else has ever had and nobody ever will. That this lady Elizabeth, God's going to miraculously open her womb so that she can conceive naturally by her husband. But this woman is going to conceive supernaturally without a man's involvement.
And God chose her for this unique ministry, and God has sent the angel Gabriel to announce that to her in the little city called Nazareth. I know that sometimes you and I look at ourselves and we think of ourselves as being not a whole lot. We might look at ourselves, maybe look at our church, or we look at ourselves or our families or who we are, our jobs or our status in life, our social status in life, and there may be something on the inside of you, then probably is, that really wants to be somebody important. As a matter of fact, there may be something on the inside of you that says, I want to be big, I want to be known, I want to be important. But I just want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that most of the time God chooses ordinary people that live in ordinary places. He doesn't choose the extraordinary, He chooses the ordinary and less than that to use for His glory. He really does. As a matter of fact, you might not think you're a lot. You may not think you have a great background. You may look at yourself as being unimportant and would like to have a better status in social status in life. But I'm going to say that if you pursue your goals and your dreams, you might miss out on what God wants. You might miss out on what He wants. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that if you miss out on the will of God, you've missed everything. You've missed everything. If you achieved everything you wanted to achieve and gained everything you wanted to gain, if you made all the money you wanted to make and became as popular as you want to be, if all of your dreams came true and you received all of that and more and missed the will of God, you've really gained nothing. You've really missed everything. I'm so glad that the Lord sets these two stories side by side for us. That is Gabriel's visit to the capital of Judaism, that is the temple. And then at the same time, here we find him in the little town, the little Galilean town named Nazareth. You see, God chooses who He wants to choose, and He operates where He wants to operate, and He does so on the basis of mercy and grace, ladies and gentlemen, without prejudice and preference. And He chooses this woman to speak to. He chooses a woman in Nazareth. An unknown woman until now. He chooses her. Shows up in the city of Galilee. He shows up in Nazareth. We need to think about this story for just a moment. And I want you to notice with me that when the angel Gabriel visited there, think with me about the revelation that Mary received for a few moments. The revelation that Mary received. I read it to you a few moments ago in verses 26 through 33. And there's God spoke to her. God sent the angel Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen, to reveal a message to her. God revealed to her the divine favor upon her. That is, the Bible tells us there when He showed up and He began to speak to her, He said that she was highly favored. He told her in verse number 30, He says, thou hast found favor with God, the divine favor upon her. That word favor in your Bible, that is, if you have the same kind of Bible that I do, it's translated favor, is the word that means grace. It's charis, it means grace. And that is God's grace is upon you. Hey, Mary, God is pouring out His grace on you. You see, now we know why God sent Gabriel to this little town, to this young lady unknown to anybody else. Why would God choose her? I'm going to tell you, it's grace. Operating, ladies and gentlemen, that He would choose Mary. It's grace in operation. And I want you to know it's the same way in the lives of individuals today. And that is when the Lord sends His message to us, He sends it through a messenger. It may not be the angel Gabriel, but it is indeed a messenger that God sends His message to us. And the reason why we're able to hear the Word of God from the throne of God is because of the grace of God. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean, an angel that's standing before the throne of God. Well, when they show up, they've got a word from God. But did you know that according to Hebrews 4 and verse 16, that we're invited to come to the throne of God? But the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. And we can come boldly to His throne. And do you know that there are those, ladies and gentlemen, those messengers that God has set aside and that come to the throne of God and get a word from God and deliver that word so that you can hear it? There are. Oh, the name may not be Gabriel. It may not be an angelic being. It may be a human being that's been sitting before the Lord at His throne that God's been speaking to that has a message for us. And the reason why is because of grace, because we've been highly favored. Listen to me. It is the grace of God that we can even receive a revelation from God, a word from God, that God would even be mindful of us to speak to us is evidence of His grace. I want you to see the divine favor upon her, and then notice the divine Son who's within her. The Bible says the angel said unto her in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And then he said here, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." We not only see the divine favor upon her, but now we see the divine Son within her. That is, you're going to conceive a child. Just like Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, even so now, ladies and gentlemen, this virgin is going to conceive and bring a son into the world. They're to name him Jesus. And by the way, when Joseph received a revelation from the same angel, the Bible says that he also received the same instruction in Matthew 1:21 to name him Jesus. The word Jesus means the Lord saves. It reveals his mission as Savior. His name reveals his mission. The reason why that he's going to be conceived in the womb of this woman and the reason why he's going to come into the world, ladies and gentlemen, is to save. You see, we not only see the grace of God operating here, but ladies and gentlemen, we see it operating in the life of this woman that's been chosen to conceive and bring the Savior into the world. Indeed, she has a divine son going to be conceived within her. You and I are just looking at the revelation she received. The angel Gabriel showed up and began to speak to her, and as he did, he revealed the divine favor upon her. He revealed the divine son that would be within her. He revealed the divine fulfillment through her. In verse number 32, he says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David," notice, "and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." In other words, here's what the angel revealed, and that is this son that she's going to conceive, that she's the name Jesus bringing into the world, that he, ladies and gentlemen, is the fulfillment of the promise of God, that is of a divine king that will come. He is the promised King. He's going to sit upon the throne of David. That is the very promise that God made to David in the book of 2 Samuel when he made that covenant with him and said, "There's going to be a descendant of yours that's going to sit on your throne and reign forever." This is him. This is the divine king. There are several things here that you read about Jesus in verses 32 and 33. Number one, he's going to be great. And when the Bible says he's going to be great, it's referring to his divine nature. That this is not any ordinary person. This is God Himself, ladies and gentlemen. This is the divine Word Himself, the Creator God who's going to come into the world by means of the birth from this woman named Mary. That is, He will be great. The Bible says He's going to be called the Son of the Highest, revealing His deity. This is indeed the very Son of God Himself, the second person of the Trinity. Revealed to us here is His deity. The Bible says here He's going to be given the throne of His father David. It's referring to His human lineage. And that is that He comes as a descendant of David, the very one, ladies and gentlemen, who is the promised king, as I mentioned a moment ago, that God promised to David. That is, it would reign forever. He says He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. He is not just a king. He is the eternal king who's going to reign upon the throne of heaven forever and ever and ever. And listen to me now. The Bible says here His kingdom will never end. Did you hear that? His kingdom will never, ever, ever end. There's going to be no diminishing of His kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, as far as the kingdom of our Lord is concerned, there's no diminishing, there's no ending of the kingdom of our Lord. You know, you ought to remember that. Sometimes you might get a little bit discouraged. You might look around you at the state of things in our country, at the state of things in church life, and you might look and get a little bit discouraged. But I'm going to say to you that if you've been born again, you've been born into a kingdom that will never end and never, ever diminish. And the reason why is because of who our King is. Yes. You say, "Pastor, are you discouraged?" Everybody gets discouraged once in a while, ladies and gentlemen. But the reason why I get discouraged is because I get my eyes on things I shouldn't be looking at. Circumstances that I shouldn't be paying attention to. Instead of having my eyes on the King, that is the head of the kingdom that we're part of. The reason why is because, ladies and gentlemen, he is an eternal king. No diminishing of his kingdom. He's going to reign forever and ever and ever. And guess who's going to be reigning with him? Well, all of those who are his, reigning forever with this eternal king. What I'm trying to get you to see, ladies and gentlemen, is just what God said through his servant Gabriel, through the angel Gabriel, what he revealed to Mary. He revealed to her the divine favor upon her. She's received grace. He revealed to her the divine son within her. She's going to conceive this son and name him Jesus. He's revealing the divine fulfillment through her. And that is it. This is going to be the fulfillment of the promise to David that is a great king, an eternal king, is going to be born. I want you to see not only the revelation that she received, but let's notice now the miracle that she experienced. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, the Bible says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age. We've already known about that, don't we? And this is the sixth month with her, who's called barren. Yeah, you know the one barren? She's 6 months pregnant. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Notice the miracle that she experienced in her life. Listen, for Mary to conceive and birth the promised king would require a miraculous conception. We see here the purity of Mary's relationship. The Bible tells us here in verse number 34 that she acknowledged that, ladies and gentlemen, she had not known a man. She hadn't been in a relationship with a man. She was still a virgin, and as a matter of fact, that even though she was a spouse to this man named Joseph, that their marriage had not been completed, and they had not been together as husband and wife. She was still a virgin. As a matter of fact, the virgin birth of our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is an essential Christian doctrine. And that is it. This is a woman who had never been in a relationship with man and was not in a relationship with a man until after Jesus was born. And after the birth of Jesus, we know that Joseph and Mary, they indeed engaged in marital relations and had other children according to the scriptures. But nevertheless, at this point, she didn't know a man. She's being honest with the angel of the Lord about the purity of her relationship. Not only do we see the purity of Mary's relationship, but we see the power of her God. The Bible says in verse number 35, the angel responded. Here's what he said to her. As you all well know, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Here's how this is going to happen. That is, how can a virgin, this virgin, conceive this child, this one that's going to be named Jesus? Well, the Bible says here, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee, and the power of the highest, the power of God, is going to overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So we know now what's going to happen. The power of God. The power of the Spirit of God is going to move upon Mary in such a way that she is going to miraculously conceive the very Son of God in her womb. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing here is the miracle that she experienced. The reason why Jesus was conceived in her womb is because of the power of the Spirit of God. A miraculous conception in Mary's womb. When you look at the miracle that she experienced, you not only see the purity of her relationship in verse 34, you not only see the power of Mary's God, but notice, as we read a moment ago, the pregnancy of her cousin in verse number 36. And as the angel reminded her about her cousin Elizabeth, whether or not Mary had any knowledge of what was going on with Elizabeth that we referred to earlier, the Bible says, behold thy cousin Elizabeth. That is, think about your cousin Elizabeth for just a moment. You know her, don't you, Elizabeth? Surely you do. You know Zacharias and Elizabeth, your cousin. Behold her for a moment. Let's think about her for a moment. And that is, she's conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Your cousin Elizabeth, yes, you well know, never had a child. She was barren. She was above the and past the age of childbearing. But guess what happened to her? Well, she's 6 months along by now. You see, Mary's wondering, how's this thing going to happen? I mean, I don't know a man. I'm not with a man. I don't have a relationship with a man. And the angel is just reminding her that if God can open the womb of her cousin Elizabeth, who is barren, then the Spirit of God is powerful enough to conceive the Son of God in her womb as well. As a matter of fact, the possibilities of Mary's life is revealed in verse 37. For with God, nothing, listen to this, nothing shall be impossible. Don't you love that? Well, I sure do. It sure helps me. And that's when it seems like there's just no way. That is, if you're Zacharias and you find out your wife's going to have a baby and you know it's impossible, you just think there's no way. There's always a way with God. And if you're a virgin, a young girl, that is, you go from an older woman who was past the age of childbearing to a young girl who not even in a relationship with a man and just wonder, how could God do something? I mean, how could that happen, ladies and gentlemen? There's not anything that God can't do. Nothing is impossible with God. I just want you to see the possibilities in Mary's life. There's not anything in Mary's life that is not possible, that is, when God steps into the scene. And the same is true in my life, the same is true in your life as well, and that is that we are not in an impossible situation. The possibilities, ladies and gentlemen, are endless. That is, they are endless according to the will of God. Whatever the will of God is, God can do. Whatever God's will is, He can do it. Now listen, I mentioned earlier, and that is, if you miss out on the will of God, you missed out on everything. You say, well, I don't see how God can make something out of my life. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of like just a nobody, and like Mary was, just not known by anyone. And I mean, how could God, listen, there's not anything impossible with God. He can take somebody and use them for His glory, according to His purpose and His will. Whatever God wills to do, He can do. And He's not limited. God is not limited by nature. God is not limited, ladies and gentlemen, by circumstances. God is not limited by health. You say, Pastor, I don't see what you mean. Well, this woman was a barren woman, but her health was not limiting to God. Elizabeth. Listen, He's not limited by the natural course of things. What I mean is this, the natural course when it comes to having a baby is for a man and a woman to get together and that baby be conceived. But God is not limited by the natural course of things. You say, well, this is just how it's normally done. God is not limited by normal things. There's just not anything that is impossible to God. That is, whatever God wills, God can do. Now, you and I should know that about not only Mary's life, and we see that clearly with her, and the reason why is because we know the story, we know how it unfolds. But put yourself in Mary's position, put yourself in Zacharias and Elizabeth's position for just a moment, and that is, that which is in the future is unknown to you. All you have is a word from God. That's all. God's just speaking through His word. That's all you don't have. Listen, that's all you have. Is God's promise revealed by His messenger. If that's all you have, then you can go ahead and grab a hold of it and believe it. As a matter of fact, if God is revealing His will to you, you can surrender yourself completely to it. Even though you don't know what direction it's going to go in, how it's going to turn out, you can completely surrender. And the reason why is because there's not anything impossible with God. Nothing. And do you know that's what Mary did? She sure did. You see, when the angel Gabriel showed up, that is when he visited Mary, not only do you see the revelation she received, verses 26 through 33, and the miracle that she experienced in verses 34 through 37, but you see the surrender she demonstrated in verse 38. Look at what it says. And Mary said, after all that, Mary said this, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And that's when the angel departed from her. Oh, it was over then, wasn't it? The Bible says here that she just said to the angel, "Behold, here I am, the handmaid of the Lord." When she used that word handmaid, it's a word that's also translated slave or servant in other places. Behold, the slave of the Lord. the servant of the Lord. Here's what she's saying, and that is, if that's the will of God for my life, then so be it. If that's your word to me, if that's your word, if that's the promise of God to me, if that's what God is saying to me, then be it according to your word. That is, if it's the will of God for me to conceive, being unmarried, if that's the will of God for me to conceive without ever knowing a man, if it's the will of God for me to bring this son into the world and name him Jesus, if that's the will of God revealed by the word of God, then be it according to thy word. Whatever your will is, that's what I want. And I love that, don't you? Because it just reminds me, and then the angel left, it just reminds me that that's where God's been trying to get me to, and that's where God's trying to get all of us to. This is that point of surrender. It's that point, ladies and gentlemen, that Mary was brought to by this angelic visit. It's a point of hearing the word of God, of listening to what it is that God is saying to us, receiving this divine revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not only a point of hearing this revelation, hearing the word of God, but also experiencing the moving of God. The Spirit of God moved upon her so that she could conceive. And as the Spirit of God moves and the word of God is being proclaimed, that's what's happening here. It is this surrender. It is this abandonment to Him. That is this full surrender. Let it be unto me according to your word. Now listen, I know that we're not Mary, and she had a unique ministry as I referred to a little bit before, but I'm going to say to you that at the same time, that is, the word of God is being spoken and the Spirit of God is moving. And when the word of God is being revealed and the Spirit of God is moving in hearts, Mary sets the example about the right way to respond. She just said, here I am. Look at me. A slave or a servant of God. The idea of being a slave or a servant is being under the authority or control of somebody else. Somebody who is a servant, a handmaid, a servant of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is somebody who has abandoned their life to be dominated or controlled by that person. A slave is somebody who's owned and controlled by somebody else. And that's what Mary's doing. She's saying, here's my life. And that is, I'm going to surrender it to Him, to be controlled by Him. And when you think about where Mary is at, that is, in order for her to say that would mean possibly this, okay? It would mean, according to Matthew's gospel in Matthew 1, it means that she's going to lose her husband. Matthew tells us that. Joseph is the one she's been espoused to. They're legally committed to one another. And Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, and when he finds out that she's pregnant, he assumes that she's been unfaithful, and misunderstanding what's going on, that is, not fully understanding everything that God is doing, he's ready to put her away or divorce her, that is, to legally get out from underneath this espousal that they have with one another. He's going to put her away as a compassionate man, so he's not going to expose her publicly, but he's just going to do it privately. But she's about to lose her husband. She would have lost Joseph, ladies and gentlemen, if the angel hadn't have showed up in Matthew 1 and said, Joseph, what are you doing? Paraphrasing, don't you do that. And that is, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She's conceived the Son of God. You go ahead and marry Mary. If God hadn't have intervened, she would have lost her husband. And it's really possible that Mary knows that, and that is, she knows that if she obeys what God and surrenders to the will of God, that she might lose Joseph. She might be misunderstood by her family. They're going to just assume that she's been unfaithful, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going to assume that as a result of the pregnancy. She's going to be misunderstood by her friends and looked down upon in her society and rejected by those around her. And the reason why is because they're going to consider her to be immoral, that is, just by the way it looks circumstantially. But they don't understand what God has been doing and what God has done. But she's willing. She's willing to endure all of that to just obey the will of God. When she says, behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, she's laying everything on the altar. Everything's on the line for her. God brought her to the point of full surrender. Do you know that's where God's trying to get us to? He sure is. That is, that God is operating in our lives to bring us to the point, say, Lord, whatever you're with us for my life, that's what I want. You can place me wherever you want to place me. You can do with me whatever you want to do with me. You can use me in whatever way you want to use me. That is, whatever kind of ministry you want me involved in, I'll do it. Whatever area of service you want me to serve in, I'll do it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put you first above everybody else. You're going to be number one in my life. It's not going to be the world dominating my life, but you. And even if the world misunderstands what it is that you're doing in my life, I'm going to obey you and follow you and not anyone else. Instead of allowing the world to dominate my life and conform me to its image, I want to be transformed by the renewing of the mind so I might know, prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, I surrender everything that I am to you. No matter what happens, no matter what direction it goes in, no matter what it means, I surrender everything. And Mary didn't know what all it would mean. She knew that she would conceive and bring a son. She knew she'd be misunderstood. She knew that she'd probably lose Joseph as a result of that. But she was willing to sacrifice all of that to just surrender to God and to do the will of God. And as a result, God gave her back her husband, Joseph. God brought that son into the world. Now listen to me. And through that son, God provided the salvation that she desperately needed. When Jesus went to that cross, listen, when he went to that cross and died on that cross, there was his mother, Mary, standing there. You remember, don't you? The reason why is because Jesus saw her there and set a good example for us by making sure that she was cared for. And he looked at John and said, behold your mom, your mother, and told his mother, behold your son, and giving John the responsibility to care for her. But there was a lot more that happened at the cross than just Mary's physical care. It was there at the cross that her sin was dealt with. It was at the cross that her salvation was secured. This very woman who is willing to surrender everything is the very woman who got her husband back, had a beautiful son, a perfect one, and at the end, her salvation was secured. What I'm trying to get you to see is, listen to me now, when you surrender everything to him, you'll never be a loser. Everything that you give up, everything that you sacrifice, you get so much more. You get so much more. Just surrender. You don't have to figure it all out. All you got to do is listen to what God is saying, understand what the will of God is, and surrender fully to him and say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And when you get to that point of being able to say that from the depths of your heart, Lord, I surrender everything I am, no matter what it means, what sacrifice it requires, I surrender fully to you. Be it unto me according to thy word. When you get to that point, you know what it sounds like? That sounds a whole lot like Christmas to me. That's what Christmas sounds like. It sounds like Mary surrendering everything to the will of God. Listen to the voice of the angel. Hear the response of Mary, and you're beginning to hear the sounds of Christmas. Listen, the greatest Christmas gift you'll ever receive is when God brings you to that point, a full, complete abandonment, surrender to him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us and how you're working in us. And God, I pray the Spirit of God will begin to move upon hearts and work in lives. And Father, I pray that God, you'd speak loudly to those, Father, who are struggling on the inside, that God, they might just believe your promise, that they might surrender to your will and yield themselves to you and not hold back anything from you. God, would you save that one that's lost, that's never been born again, Father? I pray the Spirit of God would move with power upon that heart, draw that person to yourself, save him or her by your grace. And God, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit begin to move in the hearts of your people that have been holding back, trying to figure out. God, I pray you'd help us just to get everything abandoned and to get fully surrendered to your will. Now, Father, speak loudly to our hearts. Would you work powerfully in our lives? Help us in this moment for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. Just a moment, we'll start singing. And as we do, if God's dealing with your heart, working.